Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's gospel, Jesus is teaching a lesson on mercy. He teaches us to be merciful. And to be merciful means to judge not, condemn not, forgive, and give. These are beautiful words from our Lord. They fit so well with the psalmist David, who wrote in Psalm 133, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." And also the scriptures state, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." After all, God has united himself to mankind when Jesus became a man, taking on human flesh and even becoming our sin so that he could reconcile us to our Father in heaven through the shedding of his innocent blood in our place. In him, we now have access to our Father in heaven. That is certainly mercy, and it is mercy motivated by love. He has done everything possible so that we are now at peace with God. And so, having received his mercy and having been a recipient of God's peace, he calls on us to live in this same manner with our neighbors. Now, despite this clarity taught by our Lord Jesus Christ, not only today's gospel, but also last week's gospel, are frequently misapplied, and they can be easily misunderstood. Last week, we heard about Jesus who received tax collectors and sinners, and he was eating with them. Many can misunderstand this passage to mean that Jesus overlooked the swindling that the tax collector did, or the various sins of these various people who were classified as sinners, and that by overlooking them, Jesus allowed them to continue in their sinful ways, as if Jesus said it doesn't matter. They take this to mean that sins in our modern world may also be ignored, even celebrated, or reclassified as the righteous living that God would want a person to live in. But as Jesus teaches through the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, there is joy in heaven, even among the angels, when a sinner repents. Now, repentance, as I'm sure you are aware, means pleading guilty of sin before God and turning away from that sin, striving to do what is right, and turning to the Lord, asking him for forgiveness. Many also misinterpret or take today's gospel out of context. They treat Jesus' words, "judge not," as if it were some sort of get-out-of-jail-free card. So if they are accused of wrongdoing, they figure they can get out of jail free by simply telling their accuser, "judge not." Then the one who shows them his sin can do nothing but cower and his head, saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to judge you, now you're scot-free." That's how people often take it to mean. But just think about how that would play out. Say a teacher says to her student, "Did you write all over the walls with that permanent marker?" And then the child, knowing that he's in deep trouble, replies, "Jesus said, judge not." And then the teacher would say, "Oh, you're right. I guess I can't judge you. What you did must then be okay. In fact, maybe I should join you. Is there another permanent marker here?" Of course, that is rather absurd. Yet this is how this verse is often misunderstood. Not only do people think that they can now get away with virtually anything because Jesus said, "judge not," and nobody can say anything to anybody, but they now take it to also mean that the very things that the Bible forbids them from doing, they now have a green light to do. So if someone says, well, you're not to judge me, then you can say, oh, okay, that's what Jesus means. Then I guess I can do whatever it is that you're doing. Let me join in. But that is not what Jesus is teaching in today's gospel. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, remember this reality. Judging does, in fact, take place all the time. Where? When? I'm not talking about the wrong uses of judging. We'll talk about a few cases of that. But it takes place rightly in the courts. It takes place in school. It takes place in the home. It takes place virtually everywhere. And in fact, God even commands it, that judging is necessary in order to have an orderly society. And God has placed those in authority with the responsibility of judging. Therefore, parents must judge their children. Teachers must judge their students. Pastors must even judge their parishioners. And the courts and law officers must judge the citizens. Even the Bible is full of judgment. You have the Ten Commandments. They are given for you to learn, and not only to follow, but also to repeat. And you are making a statement which the Bible states. Jesus himself, on several occasions, was found judging the Pharisees. And even in our gospel lesson today, Jesus is judging those who wrongly judge or condemn, those who keep that plank in their own eye before they go up to their neighbors trying to remove the speck in their neighbor's eyes. So, how do people wrongly judge or condemn? Who is Jesus, in fact, judging in today's gospel? When Jesus says, judge not, he's judging all who have no authority to engage in judgment. So, of course, parents have the authority to judge, that is, to punish or correct their children. So Jesus is not talking about those who are in authority. Instead, Jesus is talking about those who have no such authority. What that means is it is not your job to declare judgment on every suspect that you see on the evening news. It is wrong, in fact, for you to have a condemning heart for those who have not yet been found guilty. You cannot pass judgment also on sinners who are repentant of their sin and God has forgiven. So if there is a brother or sister in Christ who has sinned and that person has sought forgiveness, we do not hold sin against that person any longer. If we do, we are judging. And it's also not given for you to pass out judgments through gossip, which I would submit to you is the most common way in which people are violating our Lord's words, judge not, through their idle mouths, repeating many things of which they have no authority to be talking about. If you are not a witness of something, it is not for you to be repeating. And know this, God has called on you to judge. In Galatians chapter 6, it is written to those in the church, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Here, as brothers and sisters in Christ, God is calling on all of us to confront our erring brothers and sisters in Christ, so that they may repent, so that they can be won back to the life that God would have them live as a redeemed Christian. But in doing so, we must remember what Jesus says in today's gospel. First, you remove the plank that is in your own eye. That is, you plead guilty of your sin. You admit your own guilt. You recognize that if you are going up to a brother or sister in Christ who has sinned, you are acknowledging that you are a sinner, that you have fallen short of the glory of God, but you have repented and God has restored you. With that attitude of receiving forgiveness and desiring the forgiveness of your neighbor, that's when you go to your neighbor, show them the speck, show him the speck in his eye, and call him to repentance. The idea is not for you to lord over that person with this knowledge of that sin, but the idea is always to seek reconciliation between your neighbor and reconciliation for your neighbor with God. And as we heard in last Sunday's gospel, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So when you do your God-given duty and obligation as taught here in Galatians chapter 6, and a person does repent, consider the great joy that there is. What this means is God certainly does call on you as a forgiven Christian sinner to engage in judgment on certain occasions. The aim, of course, is not to make yourself holier than thou, nor is it to make yourself look better, but the aim is simply to help a person who is caught up in sin to bring that person to repentance so that that way that person can have what you already are enjoying, the forgiveness of sins, knowledge of Christ as being our Savior, receiving with the forgiveness the resurrection of the body and the promise of the life everlasting. And that, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is nothing but acting in mercy as Jesus teaches you to do. All over in the scriptures, in fact, God teaches us to correct the erring. Jesus says in Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. And such a blessing it is to gain your brother. And also it is written in 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So these words, as Paul acknowledges, are inspired by God the Holy Spirit. And so when these words are given for us to be telling others, and when we teach what the scriptures teach, such as this is a sin or that is a sin or God would want you to do better, we are not making the judgment. We are repeating the judgments that God has made in his word. And how blessed it is to know that pure, life-giving, life-saving word of God. And such a blessing it would be also for our neighbor to know and to hear it. We often think that calling a sin a sin is judgment, and figure it's forbidden by God due to Jesus' words, judge not, for two common reasons. One is they simply don't want to get involved. So they say, Jesus says, judge not. That way they feel they can dismiss themselves. But as you have heard, we cannot take this route if we truly want to be merciful. And the second reason is we truly want to follow Jesus' teaching. He says, judge not, but we don't quite understand what he means when he says, judge not. So it's a very pious reason. We often don't want to be found being judged because we don't want God to be judging us. But guided by the Holy Spirit, St. Paul taught the church at Corinth words which may sound like he's judging. He wrote, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. We must recognize that when we repeat these words, we are actually not judging. We are teaching what the Bible teaches. It is judging, though, if we repeat these words in an unmerciful way, such as if we do not seek reconciliation, or we have no intention to, after calling out the erring, to grant that person forgiveness when he repents, or if we take delight in the sins that others are doing or the possible condemnation of a brother whom Christ has redeemed. The purpose for reaching out to people and bringing them back to repentance is answered in last week's gospel. Finding that lost sheep and the lost coin means restoration, brought back into Christ's fold, that forgiveness of sins, forgiveness which comes from, that grants to us eternal life. There is joy in heaven and on earth when sinners repent, even as Jesus announced, the angels rejoice in the repentance of sinners. This joy exists because God is merciful. He sent his Son, and he has restored those who have gone astray. Restoring a person caught up in sin involves the repentance of that sinner and forgiving that repentant sinner. Jesus teaches us that with the same measure we use, it will be measured back to us. So Jesus teaches us here to be merciful. Why? Because God himself is merciful. He has had mercy on us. He took our sins away. He sent his Son to die for us. Jesus shed his innocent blood as the ransom payment for our sin. That is mercy. And with that type of mercy, we are to be merciful to our neighbor. That would include judging in the right context, but it also includes judging not at the right times, condemning not, by forgiving and by giving. Again, this context involves mercy. So we don't condemn or judge guilty those who stand in the grace of God. Instead, we rejoice with all who have been restored by the gospel of Christ. So when Jesus says, judge not and condemn not, we do so in connection with forgiveness and always having a merciful heart. Therefore, if someone sins against you in a way that you have found particularly hurtful, it is not for you to hold that sin against him. But instead, God calls on you to be forgiving of that person, to seek reconciliation with that person. If you find yourself unwilling to do so because of how hurt you might feel, well, then you are actually judging that person. You are telling that person that he ought to remain soiled in his sin. And Jesus says, with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So you are telling God that since you are unmerciful, God may be unmerciful to you. That we must always be on guard. For that we must always be on guard. We must always be willing to confess our sin, even when we have troubles forgiving other people, confessing and pleading guilty of all sin. And God, who is faithful and just, forgives us our sin and cleanses us of unrighteousness. That is mercy. In his mercy, Jesus serves as our advocate, the one who remains victorious over death and the grave, will on the last day judge us. And the judgment that he will give us on the last day is that you, as a Christian, redeemed by Christ, are not guilty. If God judges you not guilty, that is also how you are to judge your neighbor, one who is not guilty. That is mercy, and it is mercy motivated by love. Therefore, having received this mercy, we respond with mercy toward all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.